In the studio this morning, we have our Monmouth Fire Chief, Mr. Casey Rexroth. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Great. What a forecast.
Yeah. Looks nice.
Yeah. We'll get to be outside. Windows open. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also with us, Captain Craig Kozak. Good morning, Captain.
Hello there.
How we doing?
I am doing great.
Good. You gonna enjoy this weather?
Oh, yeah. It's actually a little warm for me, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. We don't usually have it this warm.
No, I saw an 80 degree there, and I'm not liking that. But
traditional fall guy.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't like to go back and forth. Let's just—I like to commit. So.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about National Fire Safety Week.
All right. Well, this week, usually it's the first week of October. The 9th is actually the target day, so whatever week that falls in is the National Fire Safety Week. A little history behind it. It was. It's basically to commemorate the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which a lot of people don't know. Monmouth had a fire within 6 months of that fire, which was equally devastating to this town comparatively to Chicago. Chicago had, I think, 17,000 structures that were destroyed in that fire, 300 civilian casualties. But anyway, 1925, President Coolidge made a proclamation to make it National Fire Prevention Week, and the 9th was the day of the fire, so whatever week that falls in is how the week is. And the reason why he did it is in 1924, they had 15,000 civilian deaths from fires across the nation, and he's like, we've got to do something to promote more fire safety. Last year, I think there was 2,900 deaths in the United States, which is still way too high, but obviously a lot less than then. But the idea behind fire Prevention Week is just to, the idea is to prevent fires, obviously. I mean, that's one of the things that I think back in the day, firefighting was more of a situation. Sorry, my pager's going off. It was more of a situation where they would be reactive, and now we try to be proactive. And, you know, with buildings being sprinkler and smoke detectors and things like that, that's how we promote it. And then also, we get them at a very young age, go to the schools, talk to the kids. And, of course, this year there's a situation with the COVID, so we're not able to enter the schools. We came up with some alternative methods, but we try to get them when they're young. And then a lot of times they'll go home and tell their parents or, you know, caretakers, we need smoke detectors or we need to do whatever. And it actually works in reverse that way. So
good. So what's the plan? What's a protocol? You let's say you wake up and you smell smoke. What should you do?
Well, generally tell people if you wake up and you smell smoke, the idea is like if in the middle of the night is when a lot of fires will occur because, or gain speed at least, because they're not aware that they're happening. Generally, if you're cooking, which I will say most fires start in the kitchen. So, and that's by not watching what you're cooking, things along that line. They've had instances where people will put things on top of the stove, pizza boxes or cardboard or whatever, and then like even a dog will try to get to the pizza boxes and accidentally turn the stove on because they have the controls on them. So things like that will happen. It's usually unintentional, obviously, or they're not watching what they're cooking. And so if it is in the nighttime, that's where the fire gains more momentum because they're not aware. And if they don't have smoke detectors, then obviously it's a bigger problem because they're not, you know, they may not even know until it's too late. Generally, we always advise people to sleep with their bedroom door closed. I know a lot of parents don't actually like, they're like, do we really need to do that? Because I don't like my door closed, you know, with my children in there, whatever. But you can look at picture after picture on the internet of house fires that have happened where the doors were shut and there's massive damage like in the hallway and throughout the house. But then the bedroom door, you open it up and it's like, it's not even really phased, maybe a little bit of smoke damage. So it's a huge, huge difference and it buys people time. You wake up, you smell smoke, you want to try to go out your normal way that you would go or a way that you know is easier. So we call that egress. So you would feel the door, see if it's hot. And if it's hot, then we don't want to open it because then you would feed oxygen to the fire, which would bring it into the room. And if it's not hot, then you make your way through. If there's smoke, we say stay low and go and go out an alternative way. Another thing, a strange statistic that they've said with fires is a lot of times people they'll find people inside, house fires that have died because they're so used to going the same way they always go. So like if you always come in through your garage door, like you park your car, you come in through the garage door, people will panic and just try to escape out that way because that's the way they go, as opposed to just going out a different way or breaking a window out and going out the window. They'll just be like, well, I have to go through this door. It's what I always do. And we always tell people is make sure you know two ways out at least, you know what I mean? And, but if you can't get out your room, then, by code, a bedroom is supposed to have a window. And that's why it's so important to us that people do follow the codes, that they do have operating windows in their rooms. If the window won't open, break the window out, you know, that kind of thing. But it's so important that you keep the door shut, because even if the fire is not in that room, as soon as you open that window, it's going to create a chimney effect where it will draw the fire to that room. So we need to make sure that we shut the door behind us before we take the window out. And then, you know, yell, scream, whatever you got to do out that window. You know, if you got a phone, obviously call. A lot of times neighbors have, you know, they have ladders. They'll throw a ladder at before we can even get there, which we get there very quickly. But, you know, you hear rescues and things like that. But generally we'll get there, you know, rescues first. That's what we do first. And then we mitigate the fire after that. So just basically you start with the easiest task, which would be just get out of the house. And then work backwards from there to escaping out a window or a different form. Basements as well. People put bedrooms in basements, which is fine, but you do have to have two ways out. So a lot of times I'll have an interior stairwell that goes to the basement, but they won't have an egress window, which an egress window is a certain size window that you have to be able to get out of easily. And they'll just have the little basement windows. And that's a problem because people can't get out of those windows. And so we need to make sure we have bedrooms in basements that they're set up for that as well. But the key, obviously, is early detection, which is the smoke detectors. That's the most important thing.
Right.
And having a plan.
We're talking with Captain Craig Kozad with the Monmouth Fire Department, and Chief Rex wrote, hey, we're really lucky in Monmouth. We have a station on both sides of town, so to speak. So we're very, very fortunate, especially if there's a train.
Yeah, and that allows us to get to fires very quickly. You know, I think our average response time is 4 minutes or under, and so that allows us to get there very quickly to figure out what's going on so we can address the problem.
Okay. What else did you want to share about Fire Safety Month?
I just wanted to throw in, you know, as Craig talked about, the early warning for fires is the key to getting out of your house quickly. We do have we are continuing with our free smoke alarm campaign out of the fire department. It was suspended there for a while. We are back at it now. And so if you do need smoke alarms installed in your home, we can provide them to you free at no charge, and we will come and put them into your house. And they are 10-year, the long life sealed smoke detectors, and it's just a great program, and we just really wanted to promote that.
That's fantastic that you're able to offer that. What's a phone number someone can call to make an appointment to have you come out?
Our phone number here at the fire station is 734-8428.
Okay. Good idea to have that done. That's just for homes, not for businesses, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Someday we'll get that business one going.
Yeah. That'd be a little too convenient, I think.
No doubt about it. All right. What else did you want to talk about this morning? I think you had carbon monoxide as one of your topics.
Yeah, you know, this time of year we're trying to create awareness for, you know, fire and things like that, fire prevention. I just wanted to make sure that everybody's checking their carbon monoxide alarms as, you know, it's starting to get a little cooler out and furnaces are starting to click on. So make sure you're checking that battery and your carbon monoxide alarm and, you know, just hitting the test button, make sure it's still working well. Because, you know, a lot of times in the summer, you know, might be the only thing in your house that runs on gas could be your water heater or something like that. And so when your furnace starts running a lot, you want to make sure that you're safe from that. It is the silent killer. And so make sure you have one mounted within 15 feet of every sleeping area in your home. Okay. And then, you know, I want to remind people along the same lines with heating that you be careful when using space heaters and things like that to keep the space heaters away from furniture, away from other belongings that could catch on fire. At least 3 feet away is what they say. And always use try to use just the cord that came with it. Don't use a lot of extension cords or really any extension cords to plug it in, because a lot of times that extension cord isn't rated at the same rate that the cord is on the heater is rated. So that's why they burn up a lot quicker. You know, a lot of people use those real cheap, thin extension cords, which are very convenient, but they are not rated to carry the amount of electricity that a space heater needs, and that's right. Why they heat up so quickly. So
space heaters use a lot of energy.
They do. They
no
do
doubt.
Use a lot.
And good advice, too, about keeping it away from furniture. Drapes, curtains. People forget, plug it in, and it's right up next to your curtains, and that's an issue.
Right.
Make sure that you use the appropriate space heater for interior for a house too. We've had fires that have been started by like people using like what we call a salamander heater, which is it's fired by kerosene or something along those lines, and it's not meant for interior use, and they'll use them for, you're supposed to use them in a garage or to heat things like that up, but they create a lot of CO for one thing, but they put an open flame out.
Gotcha.
Obviously, it's horrible, a horrible idea. Plus, you have a fuel load in there as well, so.
And talking with you over the years, Captain, you are an anti-flame guy.
Well, I like flame, but. See, I always say to be a firefighter, you have to like fire, so I do like it. It's just in appropriate places. But.
No open flame candles,
yeah,
put it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, my wife had one going yesterday. I was like, okay. Well, it seems like it's in an appropriate spot. I got tape measure out, measure everything. It was
bless
all good,
her so. Heart.
And you know, the funny. Other thing I want to point out, what Craig's saying that about the heaters and stuff too, is the using your oven as a heater. We ran into that situation before on those really cold nights where people think they're going to provide a little extra heat with that oven or the stovetop or something like that. And so we really want to stop people from doing that. It's a really easy way for something to catch on fire.
Absolutely. And Halloween. We're going to talk Halloween a little bit later here with the city of Monmouth. That's at least been recognized. What about Halloween safety?
Yeah, you know, something big I would recommend is the jack-o'-lanterns. Instead of using the candle in there, maybe just throw a glow stick in there. Or they have those battery-operated little candles now you can use to help light up the jack-o'-lantern. You know, we're always worried about, number one, kids trying to light that little candle down on the bottom of the jack-o'-lantern to burn themselves. Or, you know, the possibility of something catching on fire with that open flame in there. So try to use something battery operated, or like I said, you can set a glow stick in there, things like that. But, you know, aside from that, if kids are going to go out trick-or-treating, you just give them a flashlight or a glow stick, too, so they can see where they're going and so other people can see them. And then, you know, this year is kind of a little different than the past years, but to each his own. And you just be careful out there do what you can to keep each other safe.
Yeah, the one holiday we're wearing a mask and,
right.
You know, is
irony, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Well, right. Maybe the one holiday for you. I wear a mask every holiday. So.
That's true. Anything else you gentlemen would like residents to know about fire safety?
The big thing is, like I said, you know, with just reiterating, take advantage of the smoke detector thing, for sure, because there's no excuse. You know, I understand that money's a problem for some people, and I get that. And to put the proper amount in, you know, it can get cashy, but these are free. I mean, there's no reason now to not take advantage of this. And we literally will put them in almost the same day sometimes. So depending on our schedule. So, I mean, we can get them in there and they're operating, and we'll maintain them. And if something goes wrong with one of them, sometimes the batteries will fail on them. They're 10-year batteries. We'll come and replace it. Well, you know, we take care of the situation. So, and it's a good opportunity to
meet you guys too.
Yeah. For sure.
Meet your firefighter. 734-8428 is the number to call to make an appointment for the free smoke alarms, 10-year-long life smoke detector. Good idea. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay safe and appreciate everything you do for our community.
Thank you very much.
That is Captain Craig Cozad with us at Monmouth Fire Chief Casey Rexroad on 1330 WRAM and FM 94.1. Coming up, we will talk with the city of Monmouth. Also on the way, Dr. Cliff Martin, our Chief Medical Officer with the OSF Western Region. We'll talk COVID with him.